This is the Dean, the Dean Dream. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. I'm Eddie, your host. You're watching The Dean Show. That's right. And thank you for tuning in. Alhamdulillah, we got a great, exciting program for you today. We got not only one, we're going to do something different. We're going to take it outside of The Dean Show studio. And not only do we have one, two, three, but four exciting guests for you. That's right, four. The more the merrier. So when we come back, not only do we have John, Luqman, Musa, Jeremiah. We got a former Christian, Catholic, former atheist, and they're here to share their story so we can all benefit. That's right. We're going to go and talk with them, take you to the session with them, and then hopefully, God willing, you can benefit. You can benefit and learn so much from their experiences. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere for this week's exciting show. Stay tuned.
This is the Dean Show. This is the Dean Show. This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
Alhamdulillah, it's a blessing and a treat today that we have not only one, but we got three, and then one, inshallah, God willing, will be arriving soon. So let's get right into it. For those that don't know about The Dean Show, please, at the end, come get one of the cards, and you can get our website here. You can follow us on the Twitter, like us on the Facebook, and keep up with all of our updates and our programs. So we have John, Luqman, and Sheikh Musa. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Thank you, brothers. I'm honored to have you guys to be with you. So let's get right into it. People want to know, they're here. You know, why? With all of the negative stereotypes, all of the misconceptions about Islam, people would think that people would be running away from Islam. But we have a former atheist. We have two former Catholic Christians. And they're Muslim now. They've chosen to submit not to the creation, but to the Creator. Tell us a little about yourself. Let's start from the right, coming down to the left. Go ahead, please.
Assalamu alaikum, everybody. Hey, my name is Luqman, and Zain already introduced me. You already know a little bit about me. So what was the question again?
Tell us a little bit briefly about yourself.
Oh, briefly about myself. Okay, so I'm a former atheist. I just moved to Chicago. I took my shahada a little bit more than a year ago, actually in China, in Beijing, China. How brief exactly?
That's good.
Okay,
all right.
I could go on forever, but I mean...
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Musa Sugapang. I was born and raised in San Diego, California. I became Muslim back in 1998. My parents are from the Philippines, and I was raised in a Catholic family, but again, I became Muslim back in 1998.
Assalamu alaikum. So my name is John Smithers, and I was born and raised Catholic. You know, I did the baptized, confirmed, and did everything like that. But then I took my shahada in October of 2012 here at UIC, on the UIC campus. And, it really started with, I took a class here at UIC, and I had been searching for religion, searching for a truth, a higher truth, or some higher purpose in my life, or something like that, for a while. And I took a class here at UIC, and it was a sociology of religion class. I've been studying sociology for the past 10 years, but in this class, our professor would come in and he would talk about, being at church and enjoying the sermon, and I never realized that you could be a scientist and a believer at the same time. So actually taking that class and seeing my professor come in and talk about his faith actually inspired me to realize that science and religion aren't mutually exclusive, that I could be a social scientist and a believer at the same time. So
we have our fourth panelist. Assalamu alaikum. Please introduce yourself for our audience.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Jeremiah Abiyade. I'm an assistant professor here at UIC in the Department of Mechanical Engineering.
Thank you all for being with us. So we got four now. Alhamdulillah, what a treat. Four. And let's get it. You mentioned shahada. Now, not only for the people that are here, alhamdulillah, soon people will be watching this all over the globe.
And some people are like, okay, because there's a lot of not yet Muslims, those people that don't know about Islam. So everybody has the potential to submit to the creator, not the creation. They heard this word shahada, shaykh. Can you tell us, what does this mean when one takes the shahada?
MashaAllah, the shahada, it literally means a testimony. And Islamically, it's referring to the testification of faith. It is the first pillar of Islam, as Islam has five pillars. But the first and foremost of those five pillars is the shahada. Again, the testification of faith. Now, shahada, it comes from an Arabic word which means to see, to witness. Shahidtu shay'an, I saw something. But one of the unique things about the shahada, it's a testification of your belief in Allah, in your belief of the one God, although we've never seen God. But we say this word shahada, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, which is I bear witness that I have witnessed, literally. I bear witness that I have I bear witness. In the oneness of God, even though we've never seen God. And there's an indication here that your faith should be even more powerful and stronger than what you see with your eyes. That when God has revealed something, that takes precedence even over our senses. And the things that we might know with our mind and our intellect. And most of the time anyways, the commandments are in accordance and you can reconcile it with things of logic. But at the end of the day, faith is something which is unseen. And when you say the shahada, although it literally means to see, we've never seen God, but we believe in that, and there's an indication there that what we believe is even stronger than what we see with our eyes. And the second part of the shahada is to testify that Muhammad is the messenger of God. So again, even though we've never met Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, we testify that he is the messenger.
So we can clearly say that we agree to worship nothing, not a stick, not a stone, not a bone, not a man, not a woman, but the creator of all these things. That's it.
That's correct.
Period.
Period.
Alhamdulillah, so everybody's agreed to that. Doctor, can you tell us, Professor, what fascinated you about Islam? Please tell us.
First, let me apologize for being late. Sorry for that. I think I started to become Muslim actually in church as a kid, probably around 8 or 9 years old. We used to be in church a lot. Like, we belong to what they call holy rollers. So you go to church, like, many, many days a week. You spend a lot of hours there. So during the time that I was in church, I used to spend a lot of time reading the Old Testament because there's a book in the Old Testament that's named after Prophet Jeremiah, who I was named after. And so I read a lot about the Old Testament. And reading about the Old Testament, the prophets of the Old Testament, it seemed like to be this big discontinuity between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Excuse me. So I think my first understanding of what Islam was, what really grabbed me was that it was continuous. Like from the prophets, alayhim as-salam, from those prophets in the Old Testament all the way to Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Let's go with Luqman and Musa. Tell us, you have some unique names. Tell us, now, what made you choose these names? And tell us about the people that you're named after. Let's start with you, Luqman, please.
Okay. Actually, unlike most Chinese Americans, I didn't actually have a Western name. I was never given a Western name. You see, like, Chinese Americans on campus, they got names like, you know, Jake and Steve and Dave, right? Actually, I went with my Chinese name my whole life. It's Lu Man, which actually literally translates as long road, spelled L-U-M-A-N. So actually, what had happened was, When I was in Africa, I was in Ghana, Africa, I noticed that actually there were a lot of African men that had the same name as me. Their names were Luqman. And my mentor, Dr. Muhammad Amin, he kind of introduced me to Islam. And so I opened up the Quran and I noticed that the 31st chapter of the Holy Quran was named Luqman. It was my name, but with a Q in it. You know, I listened to a lot of Tupac Shakur when I was in college, you know. I mean, from Tupac Shakur, I started listening to Malcolm X. And after hearing Malcolm X's story, I mean, I just really wanted to take my shahada.
My name is Musa, but my legal name is actually Edwin. So next time you all see me, you can say Sheikh Edwin, right? But like Eddie, kind of. But Musa is the Arabic name for Moses, and it's named after the prophet Moses. May peace and blessings be upon him. How did I get that name? The night I took my shahada, we went back to a friend of mine's place, and he had a poster on his wall, the family tree of the prophets. So it had a lineage, as we know, that the prophets, you know, from Adam to Noah to Abraham, Jacob, Yusuf, or Joseph, and Jesus and Muhammad, peace be upon all of them. They all come from the same lineage. So they had this family tree with all these different names. And he also had a poster of the 99 names of God, the 99 attributes of Allah. And they told me, basically, you know, you should try to pick a name now, an Arabic name that you can go by in the Muslim community. So you can either pick Abdul something, or you can pick a name of a prophet. These are like really good names. So my cousin was trying to get me to pick Abdul Wali. And so it was actually between Abdul Wali and Musa. And mashallah, Allah put it in my heart that I wanted to select this name, Musa, which is after the prophet Moses. And taking the names of the prophets is a virtuous thing, as you can hope to take on their qualities. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessing be upon him, the Prophet Muhammad, he said, name your kids with the names of the prophets. So it's a good thing to name yourself after prophets in hopes to follow their way.
When I embraced Islam, from that day on, I knew I never wanted to drink another drink in my life. I never wanted to smoke. I never wanted to harm my body. Because I realized that it was a blessing, you know, to be able to see life from the perspective of Islam, because it's like a lens that clarifies life for you. And so I started seeing the clarity of life, and I said, this is what I've been looking for all my life. Now all I have to do is live up to it.
Do you want to know what makes knowledge grow? Then everybody watch Dean Show.
Dean Show.
Are you ready?
Dean Show.
Your host is Eddie. If there is something you want to know,
if there is something you want to
sit
know,
right back and watch Dean Show. The Dean Show.
Tell us, John, moving along, tell us a little bit about your past life. You mentioned that you were also involved in the past, in the history. You, alhamdulillah, now you're looking to achieve great heights, getting your PhD. But we all, you know, go through this, things that now we learn from, we gain experiences. And you were a former gang member, okay? Sure. So you were also Catholic. Were you practicing Christianity at that time? So we want to see what was the contrast of what you used to believe before, and how did you, Catholicism, was that something that was a regular part of your life? Because obviously it's like, you know, opposite, you know, you'll still see some gang members that wear the cross and mm-hmm. still, you know, do maybe some shootings, but did you wear the cross when you were doing like drive-bys?
I did wear a cross, and it was a cross, and it was a thread, a handmade cross, and it was the colors of the gang that I wore.
So would you consider yourself religious, spiritual?
At that time, our gang had our own prayer. The gang I was in, I don't want to mention the name, it's a Chicago gang, and we had our own prayer, and we had our own literature, and our own way of believing, our own things to believe in. Yet at the same time, everyone predominantly was from a Catholic or a Christian background, you know. So there was like a mixing of, you know, Christianity with you know, a belief in the gang itself, you know. I wouldn't say that I was very religious at the time. I mean, I was raised Catholic, you know. I was born into the religion, you know, and I went to a Catholic school for 8 years. But it was in between that. It was in that summer, in between eighth grade and ninth grade year, whenever I was recruited into the gang. Yeah. So, you know, so I was 13 years old, and you know, and at 13, you know, you don't know much, you know, and so I just kind of I became a follower, you know, and it wasn't until, you know, 10 or so years later, you know, I'm getting older, I'm 19, 20 years old, you know, and I'm still on the streets, still gangbanging, still doing this type of stuff, you know, and actually one of my other friends who was in the same gang, he sat me down, and he was like, you know, I think he was getting ready to go off to the military himself, and he was like, you know, you could either continue to be in the gang and continue to wear their colors and follow these other people. Basically, you could continue to be a follower, or you could go off and start your own, you know, thing. Do your own thing. Be a leader, you know, and start your own life. And so at that point, that's what I did. And so I didn't get out of the gang, because you never really get out of gangs.
Was it like blood in, blood out?
For the most part, yeah. Yeah. And so I didn't get out, but I stopped going around, you know, and I stopped hanging out with these guys, you know, and I kind of started to do my own thing and got interested in school and education and stuff like that.
So why didn't you just stick with what your parents were from the Catholic background? What fascinated you about Islam?
Well, Islam didn't come around until, you know, for the past 10 or so years, I've kind of been religious-less. You know, I've, or even closer to even kind of like a pagan. I would say, you know, the sun and the moon was the god and the goddess, and there was this equality thing going on, you know, in my mind. So it had been quite a while, you know, since I had practiced any kind of Christian beliefs or anything like that. But the way I came to Islam, it was so strange. You know, my mom always told me that, God works in mysterious ways. You know, and mashallah, it's like how I came to Islam was so strange. I bought a MacBook, you know, and I had access to iTunes, and I was like, oh, okay. And on the iTunes was the iTunes radio, and I started listening to that iTunes radio, and I found classical Persian music on there, and I was like, wow, this is really good stuff. So I started listening to this, and I would leave it on every night. You know, I'd kind of leave it on while I slept. And then one thing led to another. I was like, you know, I want to see some YouTube video. I want to see someone playing these instruments. So I typed in, you know, this music on YouTube. But in the suggested video section was like lectures for like Sheikh Hamza Yusuf, you know, and these other lecturers. And so I was like, well, you know, I clicked on the suggested videos area, and so I started listening to these lectures, you know, along with still listening to the music, you know. And then and somehow or another, I ended up on a calligraphy website. And I was looking, you know, it was this strange, like, series of events that happened that led me to Islam. And that's why I say, you know, like, I didn't really, the event is how I chose Islam. I don't feel like I chose Islam, but Allah chose me to be a believer instead. You know, and of course, I had to profess my belief in Allah and in His oneness and the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. But I didn't choose to be a Muslim. You know, Allah chose for me to be a Muslim. And so this is really strange. I was looking at this calligraphy website, and I seen calligraphy. It was in Farsi, and it was in Arabic, and I didn't know the difference between the two. But I liked what it looked like, and I had no idea what it said. I just liked how it looked like. And so I saved the image, and I put it on my desktop, you know, And several months go by, and I'm in an intro to sociology class. I'm a TA there, you know, and it's 300 students in the class. And this one young brother walked up to me, and he was about to ask me a question about class until he seen my desktop. And he was like, oh, are you a Muslim, bro? And I was like, no, but, you know, I'm kind of interested in it, you know. And it completely spaced out his question for class, and he just started going into, like, talking about Islam and talking about the MSA here on campus, and there's all kinds of Muslims here on campus, and, you know, that I should get involved and stuff like that. And I asked him, I was like, what made you ask me that? And he said, he's looked at my desktop, and it was the Shahada on my desktop, and I had no idea what it was. I was just drawn to this image for some reason. I was drawn to these words, you know. And after that, like, you know, it was history. I contacted the MSA. I had no idea what an MSA even was. You know, I contacted the MSA here. I contacted some brothers from the MSA, and before long, you know, within a couple weeks of that brother coming up to me and asking me if I was a Muslim, I had taken the Shahada here in our campus library.
MashaAllah, alhamdulillah. Tell us, Professor, when you see Islam, we know that Islam is sent as a mercy to the world. It's a peaceful way of life, you know, calling a human being to have peace with their creator, peace with themselves, and peace with humanity. But when you see it maligned the way it is through the media and the misrepresentation of it, you know, Fox News, etc., how does this make you feel?
Actually, I started having these conversations with friends probably the week of 9/11. I think 9/11 was like on a Tuesday. And like that Friday, we went to Jumu'ah. And one of my good friends, he's Egyptian, he told me, now I understand what it's like to be black. I was like, wow, just 3 days, that's all it took? You know, so, like, the way that I look at what Muslims are going through, it's just a continuation of what other groups that have gone through that came to America. So I don't really put a lot of stock into the sentiment that they don't like us because of our religion. Like, I think it's the same old bigotry, racism, prejudice that African Americans we had to deal with, the Jewish community, Irish people, Chinese immigrants that helped build the West, the Mexicans, indigenous people that were here. So I don't think that it's that different. So I think the challenge for us as Muslims is, one, we have to recognize that. And the second thing we need to do is we need to look at what other people have done that made it easier for us to practice Islam today. And a lot of them were not Muslims. And the third thing that we need to do is, like, make sure that if we see oppression, like, of other people in the society, that we do something about that. And I think you will see that there are natural allies in America, people who are not even interested in Islam, that want to make sure that we can practice our religion.
MashaAllah. John, tell us. Luqman, tell us what has been some of the challenges after accepting Islam that you faced?
I'm actually very surprised, because it wasn't that challenging. It wasn't that challenging. A lot of people complain about how their families are not really understanding of their shahada. But mashallah, my family has been very supportive. And actually, it was the transition it was actually pretty natural for me, because, you know, I'm a racial minority. And, you know, Muslims, at least in America, there's a history of Islam actually standing up against racism. So that was a very natural transition for me. And also, within the Muslim community, a lot of us are immigrants, you know. And I was born in China. I'm an immigrant too. So actually, Muslims stand up for immigration rights, you know. Those two things, being an immigrant and being a racial minority, actually made the transition very easy for me as a Chinese American. And I really like what John said, mashallah, about how I didn't choose Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose me. I felt like I really connected to what you said, because actually, you know, who opens up the Quran and sees their name, you know? I mean, I felt like that Allah definitely had a plan, you know? I mean, it was just beyond my control. So certainly, whatever happens is all part of the Creator's plan.
MashaAllah. Sheikh Musa, tell us now, for the viewing audience, the not yet Muslims, they're hearing these Arabic words, and they heard one of them, Allah. Can you go ahead and describe when we're talking about Allah, so someone thinks like this is a moon god, maybe some foreign god that you're talking about. Describe, what do we, when we say Allah, what do we mean?
When we say the word Allah, Allah, it basically is the Arabic word for the one true God, with a capital G, right? So, it's the most beautiful name of God. And we may use words, and we'll try to be a little bit better about that, maybe using some non-Arabic words for the viewing audience, inshallah. But otherwise, Allah, it's the one God that every prophet came and preached about. So if it's Spanish or Tagalog, you might say Dios. If it's English, you'll say God. And if it's Arabic, you say Allah. So Allah is not a moon god. It's not a statue, or it's not a desert god or a camel or something like that, Allah forbid, right? But it is the way and the word that is used in the Arabic language for the one true God, which is why you'll also find Christians who are Arab Christians. They also say Allah, and they believe in Allah, because Allah means God. So we use Allah because Arabic is the language, the universal language that bonds all of us together. Otherwise, it does mean the one true God.
Now, you as following the way of Jesus, Musa, Moses, they all submitted to the one God. They were all Muslims. So they weren't submitting to the creation, but to the Creator. And you've chosen to do that. You've chosen to be a Muslim, following the path of all these messengers that came. So tell us now, what were some of the challenges that you faced? You accepted back in 98, correct?
Right.
You've obviously had a lot of experience since then. Is there any that you'd like to share with us that we can benefit from?
Yeah, I mean, subhanAllah, I was one of those who did go through some challenges, right? It wasn't always easy, but the biggest challenge that I faced was not necessarily from the community, the society, because it was still pre-9/11, but it was from my family. Filipinos are very tight-knit family, very family-oriented, so this was very threatening to them, and they had a lot of fear that perhaps this would cause a rift and break up our family. So my mother and my father, before we even became Muslim, they were very much against the thought that we would convert our religion. And it became a family affair because my brother, my elder brother by about 18 months, a year and a half older than myself, and my cousin, all of us were learning about Islam. So it became a family affair. It wasn't something just myself was going through, but aunts and uncles got involved.
Why were you learning about Islam?
Now, this is where it all kind of happens. I mean, you know, long story short, I was a freshman at the university, right? And it's at that time when I was about 19 years old, your mind starts maturing, you know, intellectually. You start wanting to know the why behind things, and as opposed to just accepting things for what they are. So I started to question. My first semester, actually, I had a philosophy class, and the first 5 weeks of that class was about heaven and hell, and, you know, and about Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him. And, you know, we were raised to believe in heaven and hell and the hereafter, but we never really thought about it. It was always made to appear like it was mythology, like a bedtime story, you know. But at that point, my professor said, imagine having everything that you ever desired, all of your pleasures fulfilled for all of eternity, and that's heaven. Now imagine putting your hand on the stove, that pain that you feel on your hand imposed upon all of your body for all of eternity, and that's hell. So, you know, I believed in it, but I never thought about it like that. And at that moment, it started to become kind of real. And I thought to myself at that point that if there's a heaven, that's where I want to go. And if there's a hell, I don't want to go there. And one thing led to another. I also got exposed to Islam. I'm going to give you the short version. Got exposed to Islam, and I thought it was interesting. Of all the world religions, I was the only one that made sense to me. But I didn't know any Muslims. It's not like I wanted to become a Muslim, and it wasn't until I actually met a Muslim who was also a Filipino brother that was a convert from the Bay Area. His name was Eugene. We didn't know he was Muslim, but he started hanging out with our group, and there were some things which were different about him. And, you know, he had a clean life. And one day we were in a conversation and he had different views on things. So one of my friends, I think it was, asked him one night that, you know, what denomination are you? Because I don't think you're Catholic. Then he said he was a Muslim. He said he was a Muslim, and it really caught us, you know, it took us back, I mean, surprised us, caught us off guard. And then I had learned about Islam and I thought it was interesting, but here he is, he's a Muslim and he has, you know, a nice perspective on things. So he got close with us, and one of my best friends, he ended up getting really close to him. He took his shahada first, and about 2 months after that, my brother took his shahada. And the day after my brother took shahada, my cousin took shahada. So whereas before I didn't know any Muslims, even though I thought it was interesting, now I'm in a carload of Muslims, right? And they're all talking about Allah and Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. So it was right there in my face. And I started actually, I don't know if it was arrogance or pride, but, you know, when I started feeling left out, that here they are doing this new lifestyle, adopting this new lifestyle, and I'm still doing my thing. So I started playing like the devil's advocate. And I actually started arguing, you know, with them about Islam and questioning everything. And I said to myself, you know, if they're going to be good Muslims, I'm going to become a good Catholic. And I started practicing things that, you know, that they were saying we should do, but we didn't necessarily learn we were supposed to do, but we knew it was good. And I tried to practice like them, but as a Catholic. But it got to the point one night when my brother came up to me and he asked, do you believe in the things that we say? And I said, yeah. And then he asked, do you believe Jesus is God? I said, no. And he said, then what's holding you back? And I gave him some foolish answer that I don't even remember what I said. I was just trying to justify it. And I honestly can't even tell you what I said because I don't remember what I said. My brother looked at me confused and just walked away and said, whatever, man. But I went to bed that night and I told myself, tomorrow I'm going to go to the, I want to become Muslim. Right? So this is how it, you know, it became a family affair, because my brother, he was already Muslim for about 2 months at that point, and my cousin, and we had actually had to kind of conceal it. We weren't open about our Islam at that point. We were still kind of telling our family we were in a learning stage. And it was very, very difficult for them, again, because family is very tight-knit. It was about keeping the family together. And that's how it became a family affair. It was actually first my brother, Abu Bakr, and then my cousin Isa, who had now reached out to me and one of my best friends, Muhammad Yahya. The three of them, as well as Eugene, who is Omar, right? So they all, mashallah, were, the main influences on me in eventually accepting it. But the challenge I faced was with family. But by Allah's grace, you know, it was the fear that they had. And as time passed, they openly accepted us being Muslim because they saw it brought our family closer together. So the brother who read Quran, it talks about how you have to honor your parents. So we tried to honor them more. We tried to serve them more. And it brought our family closer together, if anything. And we tried to serve them more. And they were completely accepting of our faith now. And alhamdulillah. And they even took their shahada, mashallah.
Mashallah, alhamdulillah. Don't panic now. That was half of the interview. We're out of time. Next week, we'll be back for more, God willing. So until then, you stay good, be good. And follow us on the Facebook. Or it goes the opposite way. Actually, it's the Twitter that you follow, and the like is on the Facebook. That's right. And share our shows, please. Don't be shy. Go ahead and share with a colleague, with a friend, and let people be enlightened like these brothers were. And sisters out there, we've done so many programs, and what's the point if we make them, but it doesn't get to the people? So it needs to get to the people, so we need your support. Share our programs out there with the world so more people can benefit and you can get the reward, inshallah, God willing, and help us to grow this program so more people can benefit from it, from the work, and God willing, we can all increase in goodness. We'll see you next time for the rest of their interview with these four fabulous brothers on the Deen Show. Until then, peace be with you.